you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Friday, July 20th, 2017. Jason, I'm going to begin by reading right out of Exodus chapter 9, beginning at verse 13, because I want to tell a few stories, but I want to prime the pump so people can have expectation of where we're going to be going with this broadcast. But reading about the plague of hail. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me, or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and against your people, so you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth.'" Okay, so that's what we'll be launching into today as we continue our Friday study through the book of Exodus. Now, last Friday, I think you were on vacation and I did a re-airing, but it seems like it's been months since we've been together speaking over this book. But we'll continue with our verse-by-verse, word-by-word study. I think it's been about a year, year and a half that we've been going through book. But we'll continue with that in a minute. But I want to tell you a couple stories. On Wednesday night, we were heading to the Fithian Tower. The power supply unit came in. I loaded up Esther and Beamer, and I said, let's just do an adventure out to the Fithian Tower. I got to replace this power supply and get us up to full power and such. So we had dinner and then headed out. And so, I don't know, it must have been around 7:30 because the re-airing of Wednesday's program was on. And so I said, oh, Esther, you're going to like this because they mentioned Jacob, and Jason does some good Arnold Schwarzenegger voices. So we're listening and we're delighting in it and having fun. And you were recollecting how, you know, it'll be Jacob's 13th birthday when he's in Israel and, you know, that age of accountability. And that fostered some conversation. Esther's like, well, what does that mean? And I walked her through, you know, what does that mean as far as a faith journey and what you're accountable to? And anyway, so it was really good. We had a fun time. We get out to the tower. I get things set. I make my announcement. I'm going to be powering down, turning off the transmitter, hopefully installing this new power supply, and then everything's going to purr and shake hands and everything works out. And then we'd be at full power. But before then, I forgot to mention this, it was like 103 degrees in there. It was so hot that the thermostat only showed a 3. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's going on here? A few days ago, this was purring along. Everything was fine. Well, I don't know if the air conditioning unit failed or something. So I call Randy Houston. He was out yesterday and repaired it. And I forget what actually was wrong with that whole system. But it was 103. And I'm like, that's not good for the transmitter, not good for any of the equipment. And so I had a couple backup air conditioning units in the wall, got those fired up, opened up all the windows and the doors, because it was about like 70 degrees, 65 degrees outside. That seemed really cold compared to the transmitter building. Anyways, get that kind of resolved, get it under 100 degrees, get the new power supply in for about 8 minutes. I'm like, thank you, God, we're at full power, you know, 50,000 watts, it's all going out. And I said, well, just stay here a few more minutes, monitor everything, make sure it's all working. And then it was like a firecracker, close to a firecracker, like a really loud pop. And then I'm like, power supply faulting, you know, replace it. So have another one of those ordered, and we'll see in the next few days or early part of next week whether it's an electrical issue that's causing these power supplies to fry out. But I didn't fry out the new one. The new one I put into slot 1, and slot 2 was where there was an issue. I moved number 1 to number 2. Anyways, I just wanted to test and see. And so I don't know if it just was one of those happenstance or serendipities or whatever, where number 1, it was its time to fail anyways, and it just so happened to fail at that exact instance at full power, or whether there's another issue. But I might have to call in an expert from Quincy from BE Broadcast Electronics to come out and really look over the whole transmitter. But I think I'm going to be talking to a technician again today to see if he'll recommend just getting another power unit, putting it into slot 2, and see if a newer one will maintain the full power, the thrust that this transmitter needs, or if it's another issue. So we'll see. Anyways, so attended to that, and then I just wanted to praise up Bob Dickey. As many have known in our radio listening family or those that read the Prime Life Times, we serve seven counties throughout East Central Illinois, serving about 26,000 monthly readers. And these seven counties include many of the communities throughout our area. Well, Bob Dickey was hard at work a couple weeks ago and I think finished up last week and got new locations in Fairbury, in Forest, in Chatworth, in Piper City, in Roberts, in Bellflower, and in Saybrook. And so that increased us to two more counties, and I won't list all those. It would take 10 minutes to list all the places between Fairbury and Saybrook that he got. And then I'm working on Sidell and Chrisman. You're familiar with Bill Britt. He lives in Sidell. And I said, you know, Bill, if we can get a unit again or a place or some locations in Chrisman, we can add Edgar County and we could get 10. So he's willing to do that. So we'll have Champaign, Coles, Douglas, Edgar, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, McLean, Piatt, and Vermilion, all where you can access or pick up free copies of the Prime Lifetime. So we'll be soon to have 10 counties that we serve. So I'm working with Bill to secure a few in Sidell. Sidell, I think, is actually in Vermilion County, but Chrisman just happens to make it into Edgar County. So I'll be working on probably Present Meadows Senior Living or the Family Market Cafe in Delhi or the Chrisman Cafe or the Chrisman Public Library. Those are kind of the targets. And then the Sidell Grocery Store and Sonny's Corner Cafe and Pizzeria. So anyways, new locations. Bob Dickey been hard at it. And we just appreciate the new ways or new locations and new opportunities that are presenting themselves so that this paper gets out, introduces people to the radio ministry and to our godly content. We have a lot of content contributors that are believers that have good, wholesome, interesting, helpful content or stories. And then we have Joey Crowles, which is overtly Christian. And Kathleen Jennings usually writes something about a World War II believer and some of their interests in faith journey and other stories referencing godly things. And we just really can't wait to see how God continues to use it. So that continues to expand as the plagues continue to expand
here. The plagues continue to expand.
Exodus chapter 9.
Today we're going to talk about the plague of the transmitter.
Yeah, that's right.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Now we're on the seventh plague. I don't know, you know, how many people listening to this would say, I don't need seven plagues to give me the idea that the Lord is trying to correct me and speak to me. Although maybe if we looked over the course of our lives, I don't know if we would say that all the difficulties that we have faced have been plagues. But definitely we have required far more discipline than I think that we actually might admit. And so here it says the seventh plague, plague of hail, which I think is really interesting. And some of it, I think we don't understand it. We have to really read it to really understand it. And so 13 said, then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh. This is common practice in the Exodus. This is how this is working. God tells Moses to go and present himself to Pharaoh, either in the throne room, down by the river, or those third times we see as generally the plague just happens suddenly. But God is following a specific pattern here. And why is that? Because God is consistent. You can trust how God operates and God works. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. Listen to that. Thus says. That means this is the word of what? The Lord. That means he is the Lord. In Greek, we would say that kurios means that he is the owner. But then it says the God. That is Elohim. That is the creator. So this is that double entendre which says that he created you, therefore he owns you. You know, he oversees you. And so here, this is a delineation saying that these are his people. For he owns and he created what? The Hebrews. He is their God and they will be his people. And he says, let my people go. So if you're fuzzy on the first part, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, he says it again, let my people go that they may serve me. Now, serving God, we've already talked about this a number of different times, but serving God also means to worship God, because you can't serve God without worshiping him, and you can't worship him without serving him, because our greatest service to God is our worship of God. There is nothing that you can do, that I can do, that any of us can do, that God cannot do himself better. See, you and I can do it, and we'll do it good. We might even do it pretty good, but he'll do it perfectly, because he's God. And so he doesn't need our service. So many people are like, you know, well, God needs me to complete this mission.
Yeah, right.
No, he doesn't need you to complete any mission, but he desires you to complete missions on his behalf and in his power and strength. Why? Because it brings him glory. Because in order to do it, he knows you're going to have to lean into him. You're going to have to lean into his strength. You're going to have to listen to his spirit. And in doing so, you are going to glorify him. Because somebody's going to say, how'd you do that, man? I can't even believe you did that. You're going to go, I don't know, man. It was the Lord. The Lord did it. And so you're going to bring glory to him.
And isn't worshiping him a choice that then we make?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he could, if he wanted to, force us to worship him, but then it wouldn't be that free will of where we're choosing to worship him because we value him, we enjoy him, we want to give him all the glory.
Yeah, well, totally. I mean, and so that's the struggle. That's the battle within us. That's the Pharaoh inside of every one of us. You know, we would say, oh, Pharaoh, he's such an idiot. You know, I can't believe that Pharaoh does this and Pharaoh does that. Well, listen, there's a little Pharaoh in every single one of us. There's a little bit, and we're going to see it. What's going to happen here? God's going to bring upon this plague of heavy hail. By the way, it says in the text, like has never been seen before. You know, those of us who go like, hail, I mean, hail's pretty bad, but I mean, how bad is it? Like never seen before.
Yeah.
Some translations even say fire and hail came from the sky. The fire, though, we learn later in verse 29, is thunder. So there is thunder in the sky. So, I mean, it's as if the sky has erupted, and at the same time it begins to drop this hail. Now, it doesn't say how big the hail is, but remember, it's like never seen before. And so imagine when it's hailed before and it's been like baseball-sized hail and you're like, oh my gosh, it's the end. You know, who knows what this was like, but we do know that the Egyptians ran inside of their houses and they left their livestock in the field and they were fearful for their lives because this is like had never been seen before. Mm-hmm. But what happens? Pharaoh goes to Moses and he goes to Aaron. And, oh, I repent. It sounds like he repents. But then it says in verse 34, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And so there's a little Pharaoh in all of us, right? Because how many times has God disciplined us, corrected us, and then we've sinned again?
Yeah, that tendency to harden our hearts.
Yeah, I mean, you move towards him. I mean, how many of you feel like this in your walk with God? It's like one step forward, two steps back. Yeah. One step forward, two steps back. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 7. Where he says, you know, I want to do the thing that I know I ought to do, but I can't seem to do the thing that I should. I keep doing the thing I shouldn't do. And he builds this head of steam in Romans 7 till he gets to this point where he says, thanks be to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
There is a book called One Step Forward, Two Step Backs. It had a One Step Forward, Two Step Back. Something like that. I think it was Nav Press probably 30 or some years ago, and it had a profound impact on me.
Oh.
And I don't know if I still have that on my bookshelf, but it's that concept where we make some progress and then we fail. And I think sometimes, like when God gets us out of a crisis and we're like, we're really close, we're thanking him, and then we kind of get passive or secure in the situation and then kind of wane or our passionate pursuit of God falters or slows down or whatever. And again, God has to kind of remind us or bring us back.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And so he says, let my people go that they may serve me, that they may worship me. For this time I will send all my plagues on yourself, on you yourself. And so he says to Pharaoh, this is going to fall on you. Not just the plague, because the plague is going to be general. It's going to be on Egypt itself. But it will fall upon Pharaoh because as these plagues intensify, the epicenter for the cause of these plagues becomes Pharaoh himself. It's his hardened heart on him and his servants and his people. So it begins at Pharaoh and it works out to the servants, those closer to Pharaoh, those more directly affected by Pharaoh, those who would probably have the same prideful, hardened heart as Pharaoh, and out into the people, some of those people who didn't deserve any of this. But still, because of another person, and just think about in your own life, how many times have you bore the burden of somebody else's mistakes because you're in relationship to them, or you have caused others to bear a burden for your mistakes? And so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. This is what is fascinating. This sentence right here, this little bit of sentence, we would call this verse 14b. So that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Such an interesting sentence to me. Because...
And this is God speaking, too.
This is God speaking. Because Pharaoh would believe that in this battle with God, he is accomplishing something. by his resistance, he is accomplishing. He is holding out. He is battling against God. He is taking a stand.
Or even, sadly so, thinking he's an equal to, because he was worshipped as a god.
Sure. Yep.
How silly is that?
Totally silly. But here's the interesting thing, that no matter what he does in his resistance to God, he is actually bolstering God's position, because God is bringing forth these plagues and showing forth his strength. And so no matter how you intend to fight God, God doesn't waste a thing. So in what feels like winning is really winning on God's part. What feels like in losing is really winning on God's part. God's strength is being shown forth no matter what.
And you mentioned this in the past, but what God is really doing is taking all the known or the most common gods of the Egyptians and one by one dismantling them and showing them that they're not gods. They're small g's that are seemingly insignificant, especially compared to Almighty God.
Exactly. And that's what this would be. This would be Nut, N-U-T, the sky god of Egypt. And so Pharaoh, who was supposedly supposed to have power and authority because he worshipped and gave alms and sacrifices to this god, that there was supposed to be some level of control. Well, there's no control because God is sovereign over all of these things. He's the one, not the little G sky god Nut. That's nutty. But it's God who is in control, Yahweh. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. So he's like, look, I could have killed you. At any point in this, I could have killed you. You know, this shows something amazing. And sometimes we think strength is in how we exude that strength. But I oftentimes believe that strength, the greatest display of strength, is in how we restrain it. I could have used all this force. I could have used all this power, but I didn't.
Yeah, Jesus even says, I could have called down all these angels, and, you know, was it to Pilate or something?
Yep. Yeah, and so I think the greatest display of strength is, I could have, but I didn't. And that's what God is saying here. But for this purpose, I have raised you up to show my power in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, I will cause very heavy hail to fall, as such has never been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. And so he says, Pharaoh, I raised you up for this purpose, meaning that you are in the position. Now, a lot of people would look at this verse and they would say, wait, I have a real problem here. This means that God raised up an evil man to do evil things so that God could show himself to be strong. That seems wrong. No. When it says that he raised him up, the Hebrew behind there means that he allowed Pharaoh to attain this position. He allowed Pharaoh to have this pathway to do this because God, already seeing the beginning from the end, knew how this was going to work itself out. This isn't a surprise to God. This day in the life of Pharaoh, in the life of the people of Israel, in the life of Egypt, is not a new day for God. God has already seen this day. God has seen this day and at the same time sees the day that this radio broadcast is being done. Mm-hmm. And so God already knows how this works out. And so he knows that as Pharaoh was raised up into this position, that Pharaoh would harden his heart. This is no different than when Jesus comes to the man in John chapter 5 in the pools of Bethesda who's been laying there for 30-something years. And Jesus says, you've been laying here for this long, God's power is going to be shown forth. That man laid there for 36 years because at that moment Jesus was going to walk up and God's power was going to be made shown perfect, that God has the power to heal. And so it isn't that God was doing something wrong here. In fact, God was doing something. I think it's grace that Pharaoh was still around because Pharaoh was an evil man. If God exercised his justice and his judgment without his grace, there was none of us would be able to stand.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that. You know, our hearts are so deceitful. Who could stand if God actually counted those sins against us?
And then there's that part where, because of his patience, more will come to know him. So he's given us all time. Even this day, those that are driving that maybe are hostile to God or hostile to the Christian faith, God is being patient with them.
So this hail comes down, and it is amazing. I mean, it is heavy. It is scary. Thunder is crackling across the sky. And Pharaoh goes to Moses, and he pleads. This is an incredible moment because this is the most powerful person in all of the earth suddenly pleading, probably maybe even weeping, who knows, fearful, help. It feels like actual repentance. It really does. When you read the text, it feels like repentance. And Moses carries that word to the Lord, and it says, Moses went out to the city of Pharaoh in verse 36 and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. And then it says this, And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again. Hmm. You know what it says? It says that when Pharaoh came out of the valley and got on the mountaintop and everything was safe, secure, and he felt comfortable again, yep, he suddenly was more than willing to assume his own place of personal power and declare himself God over and above Yahweh, the God of the world, God of the universe, the God of all things. And he sinned again. And for many of us, we could go, oh, Pharaoh, you moron. Instead, friends, this is a cautionary tale for all of us. For all of us, maybe today the hail and the rain and the thunder in your life has been something that you have been dealing with that has been very difficult, that your sin has created, and that you desire nothing more than to repent and come back to the Lord. But you need to make sure that the reason that you're doing it is not because you're tired of the rain, the hail, and the thunder, but because you realized what caused the rain, the hail, and the thunder was wrong.
Yeah, that true repentance.
True repentance. I'm not sorry because I got caught. I'm sorry because I sinned against a holy God who loves me more than I could ever understand. And that's the difference between sinning again and your heart hardening. And listen, friends, we will all sin again. But we must grieve our sin. We must go, oh my gosh, Lord, I am so sorry. Like the Apostle Paul, why do I keep doing the thing that I don't want to do? Help me, Lord Jesus. It says, so the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. And so the Lord, knowing the beginning from the end, the Lord knowing the hearts of man, he knew what Pharaoh would do. But here's the great thing. Here's the good news, friends. It didn't stop his grace from ceasing the rain, the hail, and the thunder. His grace was still offering opportunities and avenues for repentance to come, even though the Lord knew what Pharaoh was going to do. His invitation of grace remained. And that invitation of grace remains for you today. Wherever you are, whatever you have done, and however you have done it, if you come to him truly repentant, truly sorry, truly mourning the things that you have done that have stood in the way of a relationship between you and him, his offer of grace is there for you.
Mm-hmm. A God full of grace and mercy who loves you and wants you to come to know him. If you'd like to find out more information about having a relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. And they're trained counselors, great people, folks. It's a free call, and they'll answer any questions you have about the Christian faith, how to walk with Jesus Christ. Can the Bible be trusted? Is it true? Any questions you have, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.